Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, dark days have settled upon El Segundo and the Lakers franchise. It just feels really bad right now. So we'll talk about that. We'll ask the question, who is the leader of this franchise? Because it matters in terms of getting out of this spot. And I got a hypothetical I want to put to you. All of that coming up on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get this thing up for you as early as we possibly can, sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays as well. And no matter how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts, you'll never pay a nickel for this one. Never behind a paywall. So we appreciate everybody's support there. Sign up for subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube as well. And then you can watch this happen, not just listen to it. All right. So, Andy, I want to throw a hypothetical at you because people are real angry about Sunday's loss still.
Yes, they are.
The comments on the Locked On Lakers YouTube page. So I have a hypothetical, a lot of talk of blowing it up that I want to throw at you around that subject. We'll do that before the show's over. But, you know, I mentioned it in the open. It just like, you know, throughout most of the season, there's been a sense of, okay, it's not good and it's not going, it may end really poorly, but there's at least this hope. There's that hope. There are moments when things have played well and there are moments where you could see the possibilities. It feels different after Sunday night's 123-95 loss to the Pelicans. Anthony, with, you know, when you start looking at all the stuff, where they are at six games under 500 with an incredibly difficult schedule, I believe, statistically speaking, the most difficult schedule in the league remaining over their last 20-something games. Anthony Davis out for
the way they're playing right now, Brian, I would just call that a schedule.
Oh, right. But I mean, I'm just saying it's
sure
it could be easier, but yeah. Like they spend most of next month on the road, you know, this month, really, I guess it is.
The last month, you know what? Might not be the worst thing in the world for reasons we're going
to
get into.
We're going to get to in just a second. And so
that might up their percentages a little bit.
Yeah, the home crowd not so happy with them. And you start, but that's one of the things. Like you look at their comments, Andy, after the game on Sunday, where Russell Westbrook talking about how like teams just put it in the scouting report, play harder, see what they do, see if they respond. Chances are they might not. Dwight Howard talking about their body language and how they need to do a better job just not looking defeated in moments like the third quarter when they were outscored 44-25 and were, by the way, thoroughly defeated. The glimmers of hope that have been there are, if they're still there, they are super faint and the whole damn thing is on life support.
There's a video that we tweeted out at Cam Brothers that you can find. I think it was tweeted out from Bleacher Report, but of LeBron, Ariza, and Russ going back and forth with fans during the loss to the Pelicans. And you could tell for all three of them, particularly Ariza, who, by the way, for what it's worth, not the dude to F with. Like, of those three guys, Trevor is the one I would want to F with the least. But this was not like back and forth, you know, of between players and fans, with players getting heckled but recognizing, like, okay, we're all
the good-natured bleep,
right? Talk. We're all in this boat together, rowing in the same direction. This was like people clearly not wanting to be in the same boat and looking to throw somebody off it, and it was getting ugly. And again, this was at crypto.com. Like right. This, it's one thing to hear this stuff on the road, and to be clear, I don't know what was said. These fans may have been out of pocket. Like they may have elicited a reaction from LeBron, Ariza, and Russ. Worth it. My point is just this was at home.
Well, they got booed again on Sunday. They got booed against the Clippers. I mean, they've been booed at home a lot. But Russ has
this
been
was
booed
the worst
home.
Though.
It was. There was no question. And it's building and it's building and it's building. There's another, you know, piece of footage of Jeannie Buss, you know, getting up out of her seat in the third quarter and leaving. I don't know what any of that means. Jeannie might leave half the games in the third quarter. She might have come back and nobody filmed it. But it just, you start to put all these things together and the tension around the team. You've got LeBron in like sort of this like low-level feud with Bill Orem of The Athletic, which is just extraordinary punching down on the part of LeBron, who didn't like a column Bill wrote. And, you know, Bill is a friend of ours and, you know, we've worked with Bill before. Yeah. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, there are three places in that column where he notes sources. LeBron is not quoted. Nobody's directly quoted. Mostly it's a column. He didn't make it up. He's talking to people.
Well, and LeBron tweeted out after Sunday's game, at Bill Orem and I had a candid conversation after the game tonight, and I know he has a job to do. I know what he wrote wasn't truthful because it never came from me, but I get it. Sources, in all cap, run this game. Nevertheless, hashtag Laker Nation. Let him be because he ain't a bad guy.
Right, he ain't a bad guy. Lay off him. He's a liar.
Right.
He's lying about the story. And lay off of it.
Signed it with prayer hands, a fist, and a crown, just in case you didn't realize the king wrote it.
So, you know, and it's just like, that's not, I'm not sure if he was trying to apologize, but like, you know, because he called out Bill on a media session a couple days before that. But like, you know, it's not so much that he's picking on our friend or whatever. I think it's a low class move from LeBron. But what it really indicates to me is like, it's just not going well. Like, this is stuff that happens when everything is going poorly. The play on the court, Andy, is going poorly. The relationships among the people who are in charge are going poorly. And the message control on LeBron's side, on a group of people who like to be in control of the message, isn't going well either. He's not really getting the kind of happy responses and happy view that they're used to. And I don't think he likes it.
It's worth pointing out, I think, you know, in terms of what LeBron specifically tweeted and going at Bill for using, again, all caps sources for his article. And, you know, LeBron is entitled to the idea that he thinks the perspective in these sources is not accurate. Like,
sure.
LeBron is absolutely entitled to that. And that is something that you and I, you know, everybody has used sources before.
Better if everybody was willing to be quoted on the record. Not everybody is willing to do it.
But here's the thing, though. Again, acknowledging LeBron is entitled to feel about that however he wants. Is LeBron really going to pretend that he's never been an all caps source for a reporter before? Like, stop, because every athlete has done this. And it, like you said, it's the way of the world. I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with it. And, you know, you are entitled to put your perspective on this, sometimes through sources. You know, that's the other part of this game. And this is how the athletes can try to control their own narrative. And fine, whatever. But it is blatantly hypocritical of LeBron, and not even believable, for him to be putting this out there like Bill using sources is somehow out of pocket and something that he would never engage in.
Yeah.
And
no, I agree.
It is also worth noting, before we get into just this pattern with LeBron, said this before, all of this really began, the genesis of all of this for this, you know, bleep storm that LeBron is dealing with right now, much of it his own doing, stemmed from a report from Dave McMenamin for ESPN, another friend of ours, about LeBron and AD not being in alignment with Rob Pelinka at the deadline to do nothing. And this sourcing clearly came from Team Clutch. So, you know, that was somebody that, if it, you know, I'm not saying it was LeBron, but it was clearly somebody close to LeBron. The sourcing on this was obvious. And that's where all of this began. And there was an intentionality for that being leaked to Dave, because whoever put that out there wanted it to be out there, wanted to create pressure and heat, and the idea that LeBron was displeased with what was going on. And again, totally within with LeBron's rights, particularly if Pelinka was using LeBron and AD as a meat shield. Like, that's disingenuous of him and
no question.
Crappy. And you've said this many times, Brian. That's really what you think the number one
I think the whole thing put this over the top. And you know, I think he is correct when he went and talked after the All-Star break about, you know, the stuff about Bronny was overblown. And I think we talked about it on the show. It was overblown at the time. The stuff about finishing his career in Cleveland, I think, was overblown because that could mean a lot of different things. And he wasn't saying, I want to go there tomorrow. But the general tenor of all of this was fix it. and I'm not happy with it, fix it, and don't ever use me as an excuse for you not doing something. Say nothing, do whatever, you know, I don't like this kind of thing. Even if you don't think it's fair to you, General Manager Rob Pelinka, don't you ever use me as an excuse for you not doing your job or taking heat for your job. I just, you know, it is one of those things where, it is a reaction to then Team Clutch trying to dial back some of the heat. It is part of this sort of larger pattern of sort of a dark place that the franchise and the team are in right now. But also, too, it gets to a larger question of leadership. Who exactly is the leader of this franchise? Who is the point person for decision-making, for how stuff is going to get run? And more importantly, fixing the problems that the team currently has now. We'll ask that question next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Football over for the season, but basketball is in full swing for both the pro and college hoops. And for the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, betonline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, and information. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the games start.
All right. So I think this leadership question is an important one, and we're going to spend some time on it, not just probably on today's show, but, you know, really going forward. I don't know if it can be answered in one show. But before we do, like, this moment with LeBron really is an interesting one, because it is rare that he sort of finds himself in kind of genuine controversy where it feels like he's stepped in it and it's people are responding who aren't Skip Bayless.
There's a commonality. I was thinking about this, Brian, like, because it's rare for LeBron, like, mm-hmm. and it's remarkable for a guy that has been under his spotlight and scrutiny for this long, and even somebody who's sparked resentment in a lot of ways. LeBron has made so few missteps, and it's a real credit to him. But the few times that he has created a mess, like now, there is this common theme that I've noticed of him trying to apply leverage or swing his proverbial manhood around from a place of weakness that he's either unaware is a place of weakness, or he's reading the room wrong, or just thinks he can overcome it through force of personality. And that's when it happens. And a recent example was LeBron's first season with the Lakers, where he was very outwardly disconnected with the team. He joined that offseason and then just basically took off, which was fine. Like, I didn't care that he didn't do a formal intro presser, but, like, it set this tone. It became clear he didn't like the roster pretty quickly. And then there was that period before the deadline where he was making it just incredibly obvious through that disconnection and his behavior that he wanted the Lakers to trade for Anthony Davis come hell or high water. He did not care. Didn't care that his teammates knew, didn't care that they were twisting in the wind, didn't care that BI was hearing chance of LeBron's going to trade you. Like, he did not care that apparently that he was actually making it harder to get Anthony Davis. But he was also doing this at a time where Laker fans had not embraced him, like, at all. He was still seen as the interloper, like, taking over this franchise by force, you know, Clutch. It was basically now Clutch's organization. Mm-hmm. And he was only in LA because of proximity to the entertainment industry and Spring Hill and, like, lifestyle in the next phase of his career. And he was still seen by a lot of Laker fans as the guy that they had to hear about for years as better than Kobe, even before LeBron had won a title. And you cannot throw your weight around in that context and have it play well.
Can I argue with you here for a second?
Sure.
And maybe this is where you're going. I actually think he's weaker now, because despite having won a title, at that point when he wanted the same thing that most Lakers fans wanted. I mean, there's always a section of people who were like, you know, we want to see the young guys bring it up and let's do this with the homegrown, whatever. And I get that. And I'm not saying it was an instant. If you took a poll of, for most people, would you trade all of these guys for Anthony Davis at that time? The answer is absolutely.
Sure.
And so, and you put that, he was also, this was before the repeated injuries. This was, you know, he just had the one with the groin and, you know, the stuff, his bulletproofness wasn't nearly as questioned as it is now. And the team was going in a place where it was pretty clear he wanted them to make that trade because they wanted to ascend faster. Yeah. Now his health is questioned. His supremacy as somebody who can just automate, we talked about it. You talked about it on Monday's show. You can just put him on the team and automatically you got a playoff contender. That's kind of out the window too. And the team is going the wrong way. Largely people would say in part because of a trade that at the very least he certainly helped engineer or supported. So I think he's in a weaker position.
Oh, I'm not even saying
he was when he did that.
Sure. All I'm saying is there's that commonality of not reading the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you can trace that back to the decision. That was backlash that he should have anticipated,
yes,
and the team around him should have anticipated, and they did not.
Mm-hmm.
They did not see that coming. So that's all I'm saying is just that I find interesting with LeBron that I've been thinking about is just that commonality of these few missteps always coming at a place where just there is an obvious potential for backlash and you're not seeing it.
Well, I think it's reflective of a general weakness that the franchise is experiencing right now. And they are in a weak spot because, you know, obviously they're six games under.
They're not always known for self-awareness either, Brian.
No, they're not. They're six games under 500, but there is, you know, sort of, you know, when ESPN does its future rankings, the Lakers are used to being at the bottom of those things because it's like nobody here ever looks at 5 years down the road. And that's just not how the Lakers have ever operated and people get it. And it's worked out pretty well. But in the near term, if you're talking about next year as the future or 2 years from now as the future, it looks a lot more cloudy, a lot cloudier than it did before. And there's a lot more questions about leadership. So like, there's just a tremendous feeling of weakness around the organization right now. And that leads, and we'll see if we can get to the hypothetical today. If we don't, I'll ask you, throughout the course of the week, based on what happens Tuesday night, I have a sneaking suspicion we may be able to talk about rebuilding hypotheticals on Wednesday or Thursday. Call me crazy. Let's save ourselves enough time to really talk about this question of leadership, because I think it's incredibly important, not just for this season, but really for the offseason and next year, because if this year's not salvageable, you got to fix it. You got to come up with a plan for next year or the next two or three. And how they do that is going to be dependent on leadership. Who's the leader of this team? We'll ask that question next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you would need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership anyway, dummy?
So stupid.
I mean, you're a mark. You are a rube. You are a fool if you are doing that, because you can get it for far less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store, only $216 from Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. And whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So at different times, and you can correct me if you think my impression of this is wrong, Andy, but at different times, like when the Lakers have talked about how the organization operates, it's a collective, it's a collaborative effort with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and I guess the Rambi and LeBron James and their team stars and all these other things. And to some degree, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you want to have In a town like LA, in a league like the NBA, your stars need to be able to have a significant voice. That is how this process has always worked and should. And it is a challenge of management to make those things work. But there's also an expression that people will say that if everybody's in charge, nobody's in charge. And in this moment where you look at the Lakers and you say, this is structurally, they have a problem. You know, even going into next year, if guys are healthy or whatever, like how you build a roster around this group structurally is going to be very hard. Who is the leader of this team? Where does leadership come from with this group? I don't know the answer to that question, and I'm not sure I like any of the candidates. LeBron, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, Linda Rambis,
Rich Paul.
Who is the leader of this team, this franchise, the voice?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. And you and I have covered this team for a while, and you know, we are not the most insidery of insiders, but we know stuff.
We have these pretty good instincts about this stuff.
To be totally honest, this organization has been pretty rudderless for about a decade. Like, you know, it's the championship in 2020 papered over that, I think, kind of momentarily. But the truth is, it's not stocked with leaders. Like, and the way I'm defining leaders is not just decision makers, even though you can question the quality of decision makers there. You can question who is actually making the decisions, who's got like the ultimate autonomy to do it. But when it comes to like the idea of the leaders of the organization, leader of the organization, whoever that is, the people that will be out there and give you that sense of leadership when things aren't going well. Because if we've noticed anything over the last decade or so with the Lakers during this period where, like I said, it's felt pretty rudderless, it's when things go bad, people in high places tend to retreat. You tend to hear less and less. Like, remember when Frank Vogel ended up introduced during his introductory press conference? That was the first time the media, anybody had heard from somebody high ranking within the organization since the 2019 trade deadline, when Rob Pelinka told the story of the trolley, the metaphor of the trolley after the deadline.
Really a high watermark, right? In the tenure of Rob Pelinka.
Exit interviews, you know, typically, you know, Rob Pelinka will do an exit interview. You know, the highest ranking exec out there takes questions in the media. He didn't do anything. Jeannie didn't do anything. You know, Kurt Rambis didn't do anything.
To your point, though, it's like they said at the time, they responded eventually to that criticism. Like, you know, well, nobody's going to care what we say. We're just going to show you by our actions. Well, their actions, and it worked out with Frank Vogel, but not because they were confident in it, because they hired Jason Kidd to knife him in the back as soon as they had the opportunity.
Well, he was their, like, at best, third choice.
At best. And so it worked out, but they clearly didn't have confidence in it compared to the other options that they had in front of them. And that still created an enormous amount of damage because it prompts questions like this one. And the answer can't be LeBron can't be the long-term leader of this franchise, because his interests, rightly, appropriately, don't align with the team's. LeBron is concerned with the last two or three or four years of LeBron's career. And I wouldn't expect Rich Paul is concerned about, you know, he wants to have a relationship with the Lakers, obviously, long-term, 25, 30 years from now, he's still going to be doing business with the Lakers. But in terms of his interest in LeBron, in terms of Anthony Davis, he cares about those guys. Those are his interests. And if something is good for AD, but bad for the Lakers, good for LeBron, bad for the Lakers, then that's what's, he's going to look out for his dudes, as he should. That's his job. So is it Jeannie Buss? Jeannie doesn't like getting out in front of this kind of stuff because she, rightly, wants to defer to the basketball people. Okay, that makes sense. She shouldn't be making basketball decisions, and it's smart, and it's good that she understands that. But who's she hiring? And Pelinka has went from a guy who you could not get to stop talking, much to my happiness, to someone who will never speak. And I realize some of that's the pandemic, but you see Daryl Morey out there a little bit more. You see other GMs out there more. You see Mark Cuban talking to people.
Mark Cuban will never stop talking, even when it's obvious. Bro, shut up.
Shut up. And so, like, there's a difference. Like, I don't know who the leader is of this group. And as they enter into a really complicated and challenging offseason, forget the rest of this year. I mean, there's not much you can do to fix this right now. But they're almost certainly going to fire the coach. They have major decisions to make about rebuilding versus the proverbial reloading. Neither of which is easy. You have choices to make about Russell Westbrook. That probably like nothing about what's going to happen this offseason is easy. And I don't feel confident knowing that, like, at least I know who's in charge. I feel like all of these people, the minute things go wrong, go into CYA mode.
There's not even a clear sense of who's in charge. There's not a clear sense of who wants to be in charge.
Oh, yeah. That's what, like, I'm getting at. That's a good way of putting it.
Who actually wants to be in charge of everything and wants to take on everything that comes with being in charge? And, you know, I mean, Genie, as far as being the owner and the ultimate say with this organization, you know, you can say that she's doing the right thing by staying out of basketball ops, but, you know, part of the reason I think she does that is this habit we've talked about before, this prioritization of people that she is comfortable with, and she prioritizes those personal relationships over competency as an exec. So in certain ways, her being so hands-off actually exacerbates the problem.
Well, it only if she's unwilling to hold the people that she puts in those positions accountable.
But that's my point, though.
Right.
And sure, I don't, and I don't think that she is. And I don't think she ever has been. And look, this is not something that's new for either one of us. I spent a lot of time writing about this, talking about this. You know, we've heard before that they haven't liked things that we've said. But this is not a new thing for the Lakers. And, you know, the truth is, this brief period where they've seemed saved, it wasn't really because of anything they did. It's because LeBron happened to want to be in Los Angeles.
Correct.
And took a meeting with Magic. And basically the premise of the meeting was, don't crap the bed and I'll join this team over the next 30 minutes while we speak.
Right. Clear like the stuff off. Just clear the stuff off the runway so I can land the plane. And then, right, you know, the easiest move, maybe the most consequential, but the easiest move, well, it was before the Westbrook trade, for Pelinka in his tenure, was trading Anthony Davis when he still had all the stuff. That was the easy. You just keep adding things until David Griffin says yes, and then you're done.
Right. And it's not a criticism of
Pelinka. It's not at all. I mean, it's just, but it's not, that's not like next level GMing.
No.
That, you know, and so I this is a question that we're going to stay with, I think, throughout a lot of the rest of this season and certainly into the offseason. I'm very curious how the Lakers, if they recognize, and I'm not expecting them to, but as an organization, if they recognize the problem here and of leadership and of that perception of leadership, and how, as the year finishes up, maybe that, you know, something happens that surprises people. Look, now that it's not going to, but like, what do you do? Because people aren't going to put up with this again for next year. People are very upset because this season has been so joyless. Not because it's not just the losing. It's the lack of joy. It's the style. It's everything about this year. And people aren't going to like it for another one. And I'll run that hypothetical by you this week. We got some big games to talk about this week. There's still a lot going on. And you can catch all of it by subscribing to Locked On Lakers on YouTube. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.